So I want to finish out with a case that came into my email, and I was like, oh, great, I'm talking to Chuck. Let me ask him. But before we get into that, I've got to ask you, I'm just kind of curious, can you remember the moment when you found out for the first time the results of the Catherine trial and how you felt?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was actually, the IDMC looked at the interim data on Friday afternoon, and I knew that they would be letting Norm Walmart know about it as chair for NSABP Foundation. And I was in finishing up notes from my previous week in clinic. And I thought, I should be hearing something from Norman by now. But he didn't say, I emailed him and I said, so I haven't heard anything, so I guess we didn't cross. And he texted back, oh, we crossed big time. It was like, you gotta be kidding. It was just amazing. Because I didn't, personally, frankly, I did not expect to cross early. I really didn't. I mean, I was amazed when I saw, because then, of course, I said, well, what was the hazard rate? Can you share that? And he finally told me what that was. It's just amazing. And then as you see the data set, see the consistency, it's just really, really fun. It was a lot of fun then to show it to other, you know, thought leaders and such and hear the reaction and stuff. Very gratifying.
I'll bet. Yeah, what a moment. So here's the case, all right? It sort of ties into what we're talking about, but as always in practice, gets a little more complicated. Dr. Leisure's practice is in Reading, Pennsylvania. So here it is. 42-year-old woman presents in 2016 with clinical stage 2A right breast cancer. She has ER positive, HER2 positive, PR positive disease, so-called triple positive disease. She gets TCHP, common neoadjuvant therapy today, probably the most common one, and has a complete path CR. She gets trastuzumab afterwards, which is interesting because I think nowadays, I think a lot of people would use both, but she got trastuzumab, and she goes on tamoxifen, then she goes on an AI, then she ends up having her ovaries taken out. However, she then presents with a very early but sizable, quote, in-breast recurrence with skin changes suggesting the possibility of local inflammatory changes. So this is local recurrent disease, it sounds like. Triple positive again. And the surgeons are saying, how about giving her neoadjuvant therapy?
Mm-hmm.
So what he wants to know is, what are your thoughts? He says it's been almost 3 years since she had her previous treatment. Maybe he should go back to that, TCHP. She hasn't seen an anthracycline. Maybe consider offering the AC and then say HP. He says, what about T-DM1? Of course, that's not the way it was studied in the Catherine trial. But he says, if I could get it, would you use that? And he also brings up neratinib, the TKI that's used in the post-adjuvant setting. We can get into that. But so also he says, any thoughts about her anti-estrogen therapy? He could go back to exemestane because now she's progressed in spite of the fact that she's on an AI. Another option would be fulvestrant, the estrogen receptor downregulator that you were mentioning before. He says, should I get an ESR1 assay and look for the ESR1 mutation? Maybe you can talk a little bit about that, and maybe that'll change his approach. So as is often the case in breast cancer, there are a lot of options, maybe not as much data as options, but any thoughts for Dr. Leisure?
And I assume on repeat biopsy, it is HER2 positive, it's triple positive, it's
yes.
The same thing back.
Correct, same thing.
And metastatic workup isn't showing anything, but she's got a locally advanced kind of inflammatoid relapse is what I'm hearing, right?
Right, exactly, right. Yeah, they said that they reviewed the prior tissue and it's pathologically similar, triple positive also.
Yeah, okay. Well, in this case, I would go back and give her things that I didn't give her the first time, in a sense. Assuming she's not having any residual neuropathy, if she didn't, I would go back and see what I could get out of my THP, the thing I gave her before, see what it would do. I would like to know that in terms of activity. I would think I probably could only give her maybe 8 to 10 doses of paclitaxel before she's going to start getting neuropathy. This is the sort of person that I might find out if I could possibly get nab-paclitaxel just to see. But if I could, I would. I would go to nab-paclitaxel to give her a different taxane preparation, maybe less neuropathy. But if it wouldn't get approved, I'd go ahead and do the paclitaxel, but I'd watch her very carefully, planning to then sequence to, and assuming she's responding, then I would sequence to AC, assuming her heart's fine, of course. And then I would hope at that point I would be ready to operate and see what I have. And then I would expect I'm going to have residual disease. And frankly, even if I didn't, I'd probably go ahead and give her TDM1. I think a question I get that you hear from Catherine is, well, gee, how do you know that the patients who had PCR might not have had some risk reduction had they taken it? Are you sure PCR says no? And the honest answer is, well, no, I'm not sure about that. We only study non-PCR. You know, there is room for improvement in PCR patients. GBG showed their data that when you have positive nodes at presentation, when you start out with T3, T4 tumors, even with PCR, you do have higher risk for recurrence. So even if she did get to a PCR in this situation, since it's her second time through, I would go with TDM1 based on the Catherine data. I would always be looking at my residual disease to guide my endocrine therapy. And I think the obvious thing with triple positives is, what about CDK4/6 inhibitors? Because of, you know, the Alliance is doing a phase 3 study looking at that in patients with metastatic disease. She doesn't have metastatic, but it's recurrent, locally advanced. She undoubtedly has occult metastatic disease, even if her scans aren't showing it. So she's one that I think there's so many options, but I do think it makes sense to be aggressive and treat her with curative intent in this situation. Not think in terms of palliation, because I assume she had radiation, so she probably won't be able to undergo radiation again. So you're really needing to get as much as you possibly can out of your systemic therapies. And I would be pretty intense about it, because I do think there's a chance that you could get a durable control of the disease, you know, quote, cure still, particularly since he didn't stick with pertuzumab. I definitely go back to the pertuzumab.
Yeah, that's a good point.